Aquaria, which we'll get to in a couple of weeks. Let's pray. Father, once again, we thank you for all of your blessings. We thank you for the time we have to come together and to worship you. Now, Father, I pray that your Spirit would teach us, show us the things that you would have us to see. I pray that the person of our Savior, Jesus Christ, would be honored and glorified as we worship you today. These things I pray in Christ's name. Amen. From our study of future things, and looking at one passage in Revelation where it talks about signs, we have gone to the study of the zodiac. And we've talked about this for a couple of weeks, and so we'll just review. First of all, the zodiac doesn't come from the word zoe, from the Greek, to mean life. It comes from Zoda, from Hebrew, which is S-O-D-A, S-O-D-A, Zoda. And Zoda means to be acquainted with God. The root Zod means confidential speech, or to speak secretly. And the Greek Zodakos, that's the Greek for zodiac, is derived from the Hebrew, and it denotes the way, the path, or a way of steps. And that's one reason when John 14:6, when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me. Once again, in many ways, Christ was identifying himself with the zodiac, which tells the entire plan of God in a nutshell. You might remember and have seen that the early church, or in the early church, many times Christians were known as the people of the way. And so the zodiac then is a sign or a path which is designed to lead us to God. It gives us the entire plan of God in the stars. I can't wait until we get to Aquarius, and we'll see that we live in the age of Aquarius. Now, we started out, yes. Zodiac in the Hebrew literally means confidential to speak secretly or to step. And so, Zodakeos from the Greek comes from the Hebrew, and it literally denotes the way, the path, or way of steps. But see, today in modern mythology and in astrology, what it has done, they have taken that which God designed in the heavens to speak of Him and of salvation by faith alone in Christ. They have just changed everything, just a little bit, counterfeited it, and they have made it man-centered instead of God-centered. And as last week I even read you a couple of signs, and and if you read in the paper, they're always nice. Today is a good day that you make a lot of money. Today is a bad day to fall off a cliff. Just general things like that. Okay? Now, we started with the first sign, which is Virgo. And last week I passed some of these out. And if you didn't get one, you can get one later. But And we saw that from, by the way, this zodiac goes back over 5,000 years. It was mentioned, we saw in Job. Job, well, let's see. The Exodus was in about 1440 B.C. So they went into Egypt in about 1500 B.C. So 15 and 2 is... So we're talking 4,000 years ago when Job was written. And we have the zodiac, or the names of the stars, written there. And from a temple in Egypt going back 4,000 years, we start our zodiac right here at Virgo. Remember the Sphinx? The Sphinx is in between Leo the lion, and she's looking at Virgo, and the tail is pointing toward Leo, and it tells us this is where we start. This is the Virgin. And she is going to have a child, a seed, who is going to crush the head of Satan. He is going to pierce his heel. And so she's the seed, and we saw three deacons, which are other minor constellations that have to do or go with each chapter, so to speak, in this book. And we saw Coma, and here the emphasis is on the child. From the virgin, from the seed, prophesied in Genesis 3:15, we have the virgin who has a child, and then we see him over here as part horse, part man. He is the unique person of the universe. He's the hypostatic union. He is Jesus Christ. And then the last decon we saw in this particular with Libra is Bootes, and Bootes, Jesus Christ, comes as the conqueror, as the warrior. And so as we look through each one of the signs of the zodiac, we will see that constantly what we have is the warfare going on between God and his hero, Jesus Christ, and Satan's hero, Satan himself. And in each one of these, Christ always comes out victorious. So we have the same story over and over and over again. And if Harry Carey were announcing this for God, he would say, "Jesus wins! Jesus wins! Jesus wins!" By the way, they won today. The Cubs did. And so that's what we would have. Now, we are now in Libra. And Libra is two scales. And I have, Ray brought me a thing in the universe, which I'll put up here. And if you were just to look at the stars on any of these, you would not see a virgin. Don't go outside and look and say, you know, I don't see a virgin. I don't see boobies. I don't see any serpents. I don't see scorpions. You don't. And that's one of the things that makes this so neat, because in every language, ancient language, we have the zodiac, and the names are all translated into meaning the same thing. And when you look at these, they don't, none of them look like what they're called. And so basically what we have is, in the Garden of Eden, God has already designed the zodiac, and he gives to the man and to the woman the entire plan of history, God's plan for history in the zodiac. We have the gospel over and over and over again. Once again, God plans ahead. He tells man how to be saved before he's lost. And you see, that's planning ahead. And as I looked at this, remember I told you when we studied the man and the woman in the garden? Remember the tree of the knowledge of good and evil right in the middle, and right next to it is the tree of life. And I told you what we could have had is a little glass around that tree of life that says, in case you eat of the tree of knowledge, break glass and eat this fruit. Okay? In case of sin, eat the fruit. Because that was the tree of life, Jesus Christ. And so Adam already knew about this. And we saw just, 106 years, I think it was, between the time that Adam dies and Noah is born. I'm trying to give you a timeline. So Adam's giving the gospel, giving the gospel, giving the gospel, out showing his kids, grandkids, great-great-grandkids, and so forth, for about 800 years plus, showing them the zodiac and God's plan for their life. Now, we have the word, we have Libra, which is in the Hebrew, it literally means the scales weighing. And in Libra, if you look, you don't see anything on the scales, but they're going this way. It's kind of, you might notice that not everything is, you know, upright, like we might think. It's going this way. So we have a lower scale and an upper scale. You know how scales go like this? Let me draw you a picture. No. And so you have them even. You put something like on this scale, and it goes down, and this one goes up. Now, what we're measuring here is this. We are measuring the righteousness of man, the work of man, his self-righteousness, with the righteousness of God. And as man's works are compared with the righteousness of God, obviously, God's scale goes down, man goes up. He doesn't meet the criteria. We cannot work, earn, deserve our way into heaven. It has to come by faith, and faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what the scale is designed to do is to show us that we are, we lack what it takes to have a relationship with God on our own. We need a Redeemer. Look at Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Look at verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who seated on it, earth and sky, fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Now, at the great white throne judgment, only unbelievers are judged. And so if you're standing at the great white throne judgment, there is a clue, folks. It's a bad day at Black Rock for you. And so the books are open. Now, there are two books. One set of books is the book of works. Not sin, works, production. Every good thing that every unbeliever has done is written in the book. And then there's the book of life. In the book of life is every person's name who has accepted Christ as Savior. Now, I personally think that by now God has a computer and it's on a database. Okay? But at any rate, it's the same thing. You could get a hard copy. You could print it out. So we have the book of works. And notice, another book was opened, which is the book of life. End of verse 12, the dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the book, according to their production. Not sin. Sin has been paid for on the cross. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to his own production, his own good work, worshiping the product of his own hand. And then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. Lake of fire is the second death. If your name was not found written in the book of life, you were thrown into the book of fire, into the lake of fire. And so what this scale shows is that our good works don't cut it with God. The only way we can go to heaven is by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all. Now, in the scales, if you will notice the lower scales, the one that's on the left on the inside of the circle, the brightest star, I think you can see the brightest star right here in the lower scale, is called Zuman Ashkameli. And that simply means the price which covers you. In the Hebrew, the same star is known as Kafar. We usually don't call it Yom Kafar, we call it Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And so this bright star is known in the Hebrew as the day or of the one or the thing that covers, or atonement or covering. In the early Persian zodiac, the sign is a little bit different than the scale. It's a man coming in wrath, and in one hand he's carrying the scale, and in the other hand, you know what he's carrying? A lamb. The lamb pays the price. The lamb is the Lord Jesus Christ. Daniel 5:27 says, "You are weighed in the balances, and you're found wanting." And so Libra celebrates the Redeemer. So we have Virgo, we have the virgin birth. Why was the seed born to redeem us from our sin? Psalms 106:10 says, "And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy." Now, just outside of this upper scale right here, that's probably kind of hard for you to read, because it's hard for me to read. Of course, if you don't read at all, it's really difficult. But you see this star right here? It's outside, but it's part of this little constellation. It's called Zuban Akraba. And that's the price of the conflict. That's what it means. It means. And it refers to what it cost Christ to redeem us. And so, in some pictures of the zodiac, we have Scorpio here, who is represents Satan. In some pictures of the zodiac, you have the scorpion has a hold of the lower scale. That's a picture of Satan trying to inflict harm on Christ. It's also a picture of Satan's hold on mankind, and that hold was released by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. So, right away, what do we have? Can you see the Lord and Adam in the garden? And the Lord shows him Libra. Well, Lord, what are those scales Libra all about? And the Lord says, well, we have two scales. And in one scale we have my righteousness, the righteousness of God. And in the other scale, one day, if perhaps you were to eat of the tree that I told you not to, why, you might try to perform some good work. Who knows, you might, maybe sew yourself a fig leaf suit. You know? And your fig leaf suit isn't going to cut it. It's not going to measure up. In fact, the only thing that then will cut it is the sacrifice. Here we are. Here we have the centaur, the one who sacrifices himself for our behalf. You're going to have a sacrifice. It has to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world and redeems you from the penalty of sin. Now, right away, in the zodiac, in the true zodiac, I want you to notice that God teaches us that we cannot be saved by the works of our own hands. Nor can we be spiritual by the works of our own hands. In grace, God does all the work. We get all the blessings. He gets all the glory. Notice that in every one of these, it's God doing the work. We get the blessings. And He gets the glory. Remember, this whole thing is about the warfare that's going on between Lucifer and God. Now, the first design in the Libra is the Southern Cross. You see it right here? Right here. This is the Southern Cross. Now, it's only visible in the Southern Hemisphere. Up until the time of the crucifixion, they could see the cross, the Southern Cross. They could see it from Jerusalem. It was right overhead. From the time of the crucifixion until the 1600s, people thought the Southern Cross had just disappeared. It was written about. They had it in literature, had it in history. No one saw it. And some sailors were in the South Seas going around the Cape of Good Hope in Africa, and lo and behold, there is the Southern Cross. Right here. Here's the cross. Notice where it is. It's put. The God-man, Jesus Christ, literally over or on the cross. In the Hebrew, this design is called Adom, which means the cutting off. Look at Daniel 9:26. We've looked at this before, and so let's look at it again. Daniel 9:26. After 62:7, the Anointed One, that's the Messiah, will be cut off and have nothing, or really for no cause. And so that's a prophecy of the cross ending literally the age of putting a stop to the age of Israel for a period of time. Now, the second design is one we talked about before, called the victim, right here. This is part of Libra. Notice that Centurius is putting a spear into the victim. The victim is Christ. This is Christ, represents Christ. Christ sacrificed himself on the cross. In some zodiacs, the victim is a lamb. Some he's a wolf. Some he's just an animal. We can't tell what it is. And in some, it's a child. Revelation 13:8. Jesus is the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The victim is dead. Speaking of his spiritual death, as well as physical death on the cross. We looked at John 10:15-18, and we saw where Jesus said that no one was able to take his life, but he gave up his own life. Jesus Christ sacrificed himself on the cross. That's what this particular picture in the zodiac is all about. Now, in the Old Testament, the Jews saw that the Messiah would be a great high priest. And they saw that as a high priest, he would have to make a sacrifice for their sins. it never dawned on them that he would be the sacrifice. See, normally, I'm going to make a sacrifice for you, and what do you normally take? Well, you would take an animal, a lamb, a turtle dove, an oxen, whatever it might be. And that's what you sacrifice. Christ says, I'm going to make a sacrifice for you. Where's the sacrifice? You're looking at him. I'm the sacrifice. As far as I was looking today, and I could only find one clue that the priest would be the sacrifice. And that is, in the law, if you had done something, and it wasn't murder, but perhaps you killed someone in a fight or something, and you had to go to a city of refuge, you had to stay in the city of refuge until the high priest died. And when he died, you were then free. If you came out before then, and someone from the family, the person you killed, saw you, they could just kill you. Just in half. But after the high priest died, you were free. Now, can you see the picture? The high priest became the sacrifice for your sin. Jesus Christ is the sacrifice for our sin. That was a little surprising to the Jews. And that's one reason they had a hard time with Christ the Messiah on the cross. Galatians 1:4 talks about Christ who gave himself for our sins to rescue us according to the will of our God and Father. 1 John 2:2, he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the entire world, taking away our sins, and not only ours, but the sins of the entire world. Hebrews 9:25, nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Verse 26, and Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world, but now he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin. How? By the sacrifice of himself. Hebrews says that the victim is Christ. He's the high priest who sacrificed himself. He, you see, is the penalty for sin. He paid the penalty for our sin. Now, the third decon, or part of the Libra, is the crown. A little bit harder to see, but if you have your sheet, you can see it right here, kind of at Hercules' belly button. Hercules is upside down here, but do you see the crown? And the serpent, Lucifer, is going for the crown. See the crown? Remember the conflict. The conflict is who is worthy to be God. Lucifer says, I'm worthy to be God. And he tries to overthrow God, and there are three battles. The first battle is Imano, Imano. And that's an interesting battle that the Lord just gives about, not even a whole chapter and really telling about it in Job. But after that battle, the universe is pretty well destroyed. You know, if you can imagine, what do they call these shops that sell little whatnots and crystal and all these things? Well, if you can imagine two great big old heavyweights just having a knockdown, drag out, fist fight in there, and just throwing one another around, well, that little shop would just be destroyed. Well, that's kind of what you have. Instead of a little shop, you have the universe. And you have Lucifer and Jesus Christ. And Jesus is playing with him. And finally, he just reels him in. and the fight's over. But the universe evidently is pretty well destroyed and needed to be recreated. See, in the beginning, which was not a beginning, Genesis 1, God created, bara, made out of nothing, the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, and the earth became tohu wabohu. It became a garbage dump without void and without form. Isaiah says God did not create the universe a garbage dump. You know, God doesn't create something and it looks like one of these modern paintings. You know, you see this modern art where a guy, how did you do that? Oh, I just poured all these different colors of paint on my driveway, and then I put my, what do you call it, the paint on? No, it's the paint on the canvas down, and then I just drove back and forth across the paint and the canvas, and this is what I have. And someone looked at that and said, oh, that is so fine. I can just, you know. Now, that's kind of how some people think God created the universe. And then he spent, you know, he said, oh, man, nobody knows what this is, so, you know, I'll do this and I'll do that, and I did this, and I, you know, after 6 days, I got it fixed. Got it like that. No, he spoke a word, and the universe came into being. It was perfect. And then Lucifer revolts against him, goes after the crown. And it said, I am stronger than God. In order to overthrow the king, you have to be stronger and smarter. So the first battle, who's the strongest? And he goes after the crown, and Jesus Christ defeats him. The second battle is the battle of the cross. Who can think like God? Who can love as God loves? Now, I used to think the angelic conflict was over justice. Let me ask you something. In the realm of thinking, I don't know if I can put this right, but can someone who is evil demand justice? Yeah. Yeah. Hey, if I'm evil and something bad happens to me, what do I want? Vengeance? Justice, please. Yes, vengeance. We call it justice. It sounds, that's a better ring to it. Sounds better. Just say a man of the cross. I want justice. What do we mean by that? We want the guilty party to be killed. Punished. Pain. Right? Now, let's look at love. Can you see how much harder it is to counterfeit love than justice? Who can think like God? Who can love like God? Do you see this? Who would ever think that the sacrifice that satisfies the justice of God would be Jesus Christ, God Himself? Why? Because He loves mankind. You know, Satan can counterfeit justice. Think about this. How does, in Christianity, how does Satan counterfeit, what does he use to counterfeit the Christian life? Spirituality. What does he use? Religion? But what, in religion, what does he use? Law? Justice? Miracles, but doesn't he talk about justice? Just to be just, you know? If you do your part, God will do his part. See, that's justice in his sight. You see that? love, he never saw the cross coming. Now, if you're as smart as God, you should at least see it coming. And we've had fun like reading Isaiah, and Jesus and the cross are almost on every page. He should have seen it coming. He missed it. Alright? This is the great love of Christ, that he would sacrifice himself for our sin. And so Lucifer, he is the serpent, he's going for the crown. Who deserves to be God? Now, notice that, and we'll see this again and again, the third decon in every one of these chapters always ends in the same way: Christ is victorious. Remember, Virgo? We have the seed of the woman. By the way, the emphasis in Virgo is not on the woman, but on the seed. Who is to be worshipped? The woman or the seed? The seed. Whom does Satan try to get us to worship? The woman. Now, let me tell you something. Of all of the women in the universe and its history, I have the second most admiration for Mary, just next to my wife. Because she is the mother of her Savior. You don't think that's... I mean, just think about that. Her Savior. Before she was pregnant by means of the Holy Spirit, she had already accepted Christ as her Savior, as the Messiah. And now one day an angel comes along and says, hey, you know your Messiah who saved you? Sure. You're going to be his mom. Say, what? Special relationship there. Now, a lot of us have had kids who thought they were God. Who is God? Yeah. You know, is God. You see that? What a woman. But she's not the object of our worship. The seed of the woman, Christ, the child. Notice, who is the victor? It's the seed of the woman. He's the victor. And notice, when he comes as booty, he comes as a conqueror of the world, a conquering hero. So, the last chapter in the book of Virgo, booty, Christ is glorified as the hero. In the last chapter of Libra, we have the crown. The winner. Jesus is, he and he alone is worthy to become or to be God. Now, the crown. By the way, another name for the crown is sometimes called the Northern Cross. Have you ever heard this said? First comes the cross, then the crown. The Northern Cross. South, the darkest part of the universe, right here, Southern Cross. Death. I said he's gone south for eternity, dead. North, resurrection. But we see Jesus, Hebrews 2:9, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. Now the really bright star in the crown, boy, this thing just shows up, doesn't it? I was going to do the translation. I don't know why it hit me. It's not what you're thinking of. It's called The Shining. I think there's a horror movie. It just hit me as I said that. No. Jesus said in John 8, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but he will have the light of life. Christ is the light of the world. So, you read through John, and he talks about he's the light, he's the light, he's the light. There it is. That's what he's talking about. He's the light of the world. Now, in Revelation 2:10, when we get there, we'll see that there's a crown of life which is given to all believers who walk by faith. So, when we believe on the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, who sacrificed himself for our sins, and we receive his righteousness, we receive his eternal life, and when we walk by faith in the Spirit, we receive the abundant life, and we're going to receive the crown of life. We're going to share in the spoils of the victory of Christ on the cross. Sorry to say, we share in the booty. No pun intended. There's a gal that works for America West that's down in Baggage, and she is greatly pregnant. And today I saw her coming up the escalator. I said, Joanne, how you doing? She said, well, I just started laughing. Yep, and she's pretty swelled. Now, Yep. Okay. Next constellation, Scorpio. Notice how huge it is. This is the Scorpio. Now, I don't like Scorpio. I remember I was in Africa, and one of the ladies was, she had a towel and it had a scorpion in it, and she's wiping her face, and she got stung right on the forehead, and it hurt. I could tell. I don't like scorpions. Now, if you could imagine a scorpion that was about the size of a horse coming after you, you got the picture? Scary. Satan is the scorpion. He's the great dragon. He's the snake, so forth. And as we look at this, we're going to see once again the battle between Lucifer and Christ. Notice that we'll see the Christ figure here that has his foot on his head. Christ What's the prophecy from the lady, Virgo, 3:15, that the scorpion will see his heel and see Christ will crush his head. Now, if you think about that, and you think of Jesus and the man and Esau in the garden, and Christ is sacrificing a lamb and making them clothes and explaining to them the gospel, and then gives them the prophecy of Genesis 3:15, it all makes sense to them. Because he's already been taught this. Now it just applies to him. In the Arabic and Sikh, this constellation is known as Al-Akhraf, Scorpion, but it also means the conflict of war. This is the entire message of Scripture, is the warfare between Lucifer and God. It's the conflict and the story of this warfare and of how in the garden Lucifer literally captured all of us, the entire human race, and Jesus Christ sacrifices himself to redeem us. After the warfare in heaven, the revolt of Satan in heaven, and the universe is now in a state of confusion. I can see some of the elect angels coming to God and saying, what happens now? What happens now? And in the reconstruction of the heavens and the earth, I believe God reconstructs it, and he says, well, look at the zodiac. Here's my plan. Because this is also their redemption. It's also the defeat of Lucifer. How are we going to solve this? And what does he do then? He creates man and the woman in the garden and explains to them salvation. Now that's just my thought. See, I believe the zodiac not only gives us the entire plan of God, it gives the angelic creatures. Now we have the scorpion. Look at Revelation 9. It's Hebrews 9, it's a great chapter, but it's not Revelation 9. And we'll just start at the first verse. This is the fifth trumpet. And the fifth angel sounded. He trumpeted. And I saw a star from heaven, this is an angel, which had fallen to the earth. Who had fallen to the earth? Now, who had fallen to the earth is a perfect active participle. He's fallen to the earth in the past. He's not falling now. He's already fallen. This is Lucifer. And the key to the bottomless pit was given to him. He doesn't have the key now. This is a key where about 200 million demons are locked up in the abyss. Verse 2, and he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke went up from the pit like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. This is Tartarus. If we ever get to 2 Peter 2, we'll study it. And out of the smoke came forth locusts upon the earth. and authority was given to them as the scorpions of the earth have authority. Now, all of a sudden, they're scorpions, but there's so many of them, it's like locusts. And they were told that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only the men who do not have the seal of God on their forehead. Jesus Christ is the protection for believers in the tribulation. This is talking about the last part of the tribulation. And the purpose of this warfare is literally to turn people to the Lord Jesus Christ. See that in a minute. And they were not permitted, verse 5, to kill anyone, but to torment for 5 months, and their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man. And in those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, and death flees from them. So it's like this sting is so painful that people wish they were dead, but they're not. Now think of the sting of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Extremely painful. But it did not kill him. Physically. Extremely painful. Verse 7. And the appearance of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. And on their heads, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men, and they had hair like the hair of women. A beautiful hair, but they had bad teeth. They were like the teeth of lions, very ferocious, powerful. And they had breastplates, like the breastplate of iron, like Roman soldiers. They were well equipped, organized in a military way. And the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots and many horses rushing to battle. And they have tails like scorpions and stings. And in their tails is the power to hurt men for 5 months. They have a king over them. That's Lucifer, the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, destroyer, and the Greek Apollyon. And the first woe is past. Now, in the tribulation, there are going to be scorpion-like creatures, but unlike locusts, they'll have a team, they'll be well organized, and they are going to attack unbelievers for 5 months. Lucifer has been attacking God since he revolted against God. But he does not have power over God, just as these scorpions don't have power over God in the tribulation, and believers are protected. Now, just for fun, skip down to verse 20 of chapter 9. And the rest of mankind were not, verse 20. Yeah, the rest of mankind were not killed by these plagues. Who were not killed by these plagues? Still did not repent of the work of their own hands. They did not stop worshiping demons, idols of gold, silver, bronze, etc., etc., etc. What's this? The reason God allows problems, terrible things in the earth caused by Lucifer is to cause man to stop worshiping the product of his own hand, worshiping the law. And you see, the scale, Libra says, you can never be saved by worshiping the product of your own hand. Now, the brightest star in Scorpio You see it right in the middle of his back is Antares, and it means the wounding right here. And so if you can think of a scorpion having a heart, do you see this would be right over his heart? It means the wounding. Satan always attempts to wound Christ. He attempts to attack the line of Christ. He thinks he can think like God. He never does. In his tail is a star, a bright star, right there in the tail, and it means the perverse, one who rebels. Until he rebels against God. Now, we just have time for the first decon, I think. And it is the serpent holder. You see the man right here? This is Christ. You see him? And he is holding the serpent by his tail. Have you ever grabbed a snake by its tail? You better be quick. Now, have you ever just held a snake by its tail? This snake is a long snake. If you can think, this is like grabbing a 20-foot cobra by the tail. You know what I'd say? Not a wise move. Okay? Jesus Christ is holding the cobra by its tail. What's he saying? I have no fear. You have no power over me. He is restraining the snake from getting the crown. Jesus Christ is the restrainer of Lucifer. Who restrains Lucifer in the church age? It's Holy Spirit. Remember Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? He and the Father are one. Remember, Jesus and the Holy Spirit are just alike. They're just different, that's all. They're the restrainers. Jesus keeps Satan from taking God's crown. He is the one who has the victory over Lucifer. Now, in Greek mythology, he's known as Apollo. I'm sorry, the son of Apollo. And he is described as the God-man. Son of Apollo. And you can see the second decon, which is actually the serpent, who is trying to usurp the crown. And then we have Hercules, who is hanging upside down. But he's not really upside down because he's in space. He's the third decon. He is the mighty one. El Tabar. Isaiah 9:6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Al-Kabar, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And so next week, we will start with Hercules. And we'll see some interesting things. Remember, you had to do 12 mighty miracles, remember? And remember, just one of them was, to give you a little clue, then we had to clean some stables. and these stables had never been cleaned? Yeah. And how did he do it? He diverted a river to clean the stables. You and I are, we're the stables. We're the manure in the stables. We need to be cleaned. How are we cleaned? By the washing and regenerating of the Holy Spirit. The water of the Word. Okay? So, even though the Greek mythology takes Hercules and they pervert him somewhat, but even in their perversion, if you know the truth, you can see truth and you see Jesus. And so we'll look at Hercules. You probably never thought you'd come to PBC and we'd learn about Hercules. Remember? Hercules. And we'll see that Hercules is a man begotten by God. He is a man begotten by God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You see that? So, do you see that the zodiac is just, it's not something that God designed so you can tell your horoscope and tell it's just a good day to, you know, cross the street or not? See how in humanism we've made it man-centered, it's God-centered. Father, thanks for the time we've had to come together and to worship you today. A good time we had in fellowship and eating a physical food. And we thank you for this time we've had in fellowship around the spiritual table. These things I pray now that you would take and make real to each one of us. Thank you for being our hero and for sending your Son to be our hero and to save us, redeem us from our sins. These things I pray in Christ's name. Amen.